have something feel like we'd like to share with y'all this morning. So glad to be able to be back here with the saints in this area again. I want you to know that when I see the faces of my brothers and sisters, that you encourage me. I'm blessed. And see some of the older ones, as you've been faithful throughout the years and still coming, that means something to me. It really is special to me. You know, we've all seen individuals who maybe got through excitement or something, came and started out almost like a ball of fire and fizzled out. But then there have been people who have been steady. Maybe didn't start out very, not much of a fire at all. It's kind of, but they're still there. And they grew in the Lord, and you saw their hunger for the things of the Lord to grow, and their spiritual life was maintained. And through years now, you look back, and I want you to know, if you're one of those quiet ones that's just been faithful throughout the years, I want you to know you really mean something to me. I'm thankful for that. The example that you've left behind, the quiet steadiness, it means something. And I want to encourage you to keep on. I saw the children this morning that you have. Sister Tammy mentioned something about it. Wasn't it wonderful to have to get more books for all the children for singing this morning in Sunday school? That's a great problem to have. We love to have more children. Had a young couple one time come to the congregation, and had a child, and they were so embarrassed. The child was making noise, and you know how babies will cry every now and then. And she was feeling like, oh, I can't keep my baby quiet. And I said, hold on. We like the sound of babies crying in this congregation. That means there's more coming on. So when we see these younger ones, younger ones that are in Sunday school, I want you to know what we have great hopes for you. We want to see you grow and become established in the things of the Lord and take your place. If the Lord allows time to continue, we're looking forward to you being one of those who takes some of these positions. The older ones will come to the end of their life, but as I'm getting older and having greater expectations for the younger ones, I just really look at these younger ones and my heart goes out to you, and I want you to be encouraged in the ways of the Lord. I want you to become established and settled. I want to look over into the book of Matthew this morning, and I hope somehow in our discourses, you know, we've got a meeting coming up here in just a few days. And I know that when a congregation hosts a meeting, everybody has extra work. And I know there's some stresses and there's some things that you have to do, special work days, special cleaning of the house, and people going to come maybe stay at your home. I want you to know we appreciate your effort. I also know that because of all that has to be done, as mentioned this morning, something about holidays are good, and it's nice to have families come in, but that adds, there's some stress that goes along with that. I want you to know that's life. We're going to have that. Now, the Lord wants to help us to learn how to deal with life and our stresses and our problems, and God wants us to learn how to handle that, to mature to the place that handling it maybe is not as difficult as what it used to be. Sometimes when we're younger, we don't know how to handle things well. Children were given to parents for a purpose. That parents are supposed to be a little bit more settled, a little bit more established, and able to teach children how to handle sometimes their emotions. It's one of the reasons why I recommend young people don't think about getting married until you've got some things established in your life. It's harder to grow up. And you can do it. The Lord can help you. But it's harder to grow up when you're dealing with this in a marriage situation. And it's great. Now, the Lord can help you. Don't get me wrong. We all look back over, those of us that have been married for a few years, we realize how the Lord has helped us and matured us and taught us. I understand that. But I just encourage you to get established first, settled in the things of the Lord. But anyway, the Lord gives children and He wants us to teach them. And as they mature, they're able then to kind of pick up some of the things that the parents learned. And God wants us, as we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, He wants us that to become a maturing factor in our lives that settles us. We want the leaders of our congregation, those to be in leaders, we want them to be settled. We can count on them. It's only natural that we wish that. And we expect that of them. We want them to have something that they've got a hold of. That when we look to them for prayer, we know they've been practicing some real earnest prayer. They know what it means to get a hold of the Lord. So Jesus was dealing with people much like what we are today. Now over here in Matthew, the 5th chapter, I want to take a look at some of this. Maybe in a different angle than what we... I don't want to look necessarily on the specifics of every one of these scriptures, but the kind of overview. Jesus was dealing with people. Dealing with people who had emotions, who had mothers who had children that didn't always get along. This may come as a surprise to you, but children haven't always gotten along. Any mother here surprised at that? Or father? As we grow, as we raise our children, there are times in a home where a child can say, "Mama, he pulled my hair." Or, "He took my toy." Or you ever heard these little arguments start going on? And then the parent comes in halfway through the situation and not knowing exactly who had the toy first. "I did." They both said, "I did." And you say, "What did I do?" And you start feeling a little bit of frustrated. And finally, sometimes you just conclude, "Well, they both need a spanking. Because they just can't get along." And I wonder sometimes if God looks at us. Now, He's a lot wiser than what we are as humans. But I wonder if He gets frustrated with us in our immature ways at times. And the Lord wants to deal with us, to give us proper guidance and understanding and a direction of life that helps us to come together as people, able to come together and enjoy the worship of the Lord together and put aside some of our sensitivities and look at God and hunger and thirst after Him. And I want to tell you that will help supersede all the other little internal rancor that begins. Where we start thinking, "Well, He stepped..." Sometimes it's a minister that does that, maybe not necessarily intentionally. Sometimes the Word of God itself has a quality of correcting. And no chastening for that moment seems to be a pleasant thing, but it produces good things in our life. And God help us to submit to God's tender touch, even if it's corrective touch. David came to a place in his walk with the Lord, and it's spoken of in the psalm that says, "Thy rod and thy staff." You like a staff? You like a rod on your back? But David said, "They comfort me." And God would have us to receive, and the way the Lord corrects us is not harsh or domineering, but it's guiding and correcting. And David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And God help us to get to the place that we receive comfortingly the guiding hand of God in our life. Well, Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus was dealing with people. And He says, blessed, 3rd verse, 5 and 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Does that seem to be a blessing whenever we start thinking about feeling poor in spirit? Because all of us, we'd like to feel a little self-sufficient, wouldn't we? Actually, it's not a good place to be. We need to have some confidence. We don't need to feel so under that I'm always cowed down. That's not God's will. It's really not. But He does want us to have realize that I need Him. That's a blessing to us. Folks, it just is. You know, it's better to know and to be able to acknowledge that I really don't know the way. I need to have... I come down a little different way than I used to always come. The route I take now runs over into Mississippi, and it's, I'm not real acquainted with a few little turns on that road. So you know what I have? I acknowledge that I don't know it well. Now I can go ahead and say, I know it. I'm a man. I've got it figured out. And I could run clear on over to the east side over there. And hey, wait a minute. This is not looking right. But instead, it's really good for us. It's a blessing for us to recognize and admit our limitations and say, I need some help. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit, who recognize and acknowledge their need. Say, Lord, I need Your help and Your guidance in my life. I'm just not really there yet. I need some... Have you ever felt like you needed encouragement? You ever get up in the morning? Have you ever getting up on the wrong side of the bed? Oh, you know how much that affects our day. You ever just woke up and not known why, but you just felt like, I just don't feel good about this day. Oh, how do you handle that? Are you supposed to allow that to dictate the rest of your day? No. Don't we teach our children? You ever heard of poochy lip disease? Child runs around. Hey, you got something going on here. Hang on. Pull that lip back in. Square your shoulders back. A sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. Sang a song this morning in Sunday school about... what they grumble on? You know, we can change that. Blessed are those who see their need and feel their need and willing to say, Lord, change me. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be grumpy today. I don't want to be melancholy. I don't want to look on the negative side of life today. I want to give me something. And sometimes the Lord says, right there is a wonderful songbook that's sitting beside you. Pick that up and say, I mean to go right on. Until the crown is won. You see, there's a lot of encouragement sometimes right at our fingertips, but the devil would like to put a veil between us and our source of help. Right. And Jesus, through part of what He's teaching here, is teaching us how to deal with life. And we still need that. We haven't...
Evolution. Now, I want to tell you what, if it had really worked, we'd went a long ways from these days that Jesus was teaching here. But we're the same.
We still deal with our emotions and our stresses of life, and I still need to understand that I need God today. I need His guiding hand. I need You, Lord.
That doesn't mean I go around with this dreaded feeling or...
No, there's a confidence, there's a sweetness, a place in the Lord, but also an acknowledgement. Lord, I need You. I want Your guiding hand this day.
And Jesus says there's a blessing on that type of an individual. And the next verse talks about mourning. Blessed are they that mourn. Now I want you to know that if we have a mourning because of a certain loss in our life, the Lord has a way of comforting our hearts. And I believe this would cover that. But I don't think that's the thrust of this verse. Though I want you to know that if you have a loss in your life, the Lord wants to comfort. There's a blessing. God wants to come and meet you in your place of mourning or loss and encourage you. But you know what the real blessing is in mourning? There's a contriteness of heart. You ever... When we come to the place that I recognize that I need... Well, let's back up and come at it from this angle. Looking back over your life, have you ever had times that you wish you wouldn't remember? Some things you did, or things you said, or stuck your foot in your mouth, or you're so embarrassed when you look back. Or maybe you failed even. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I've had times I look back and there's some things I wish, I shudder still at some of the things. I look back and think, I'm glad people at least had mercy on me and realized I was just young and ignorant and ambitious and dumb. And they still cared and loved for me. I'm thankful for that, but I'm sorry for them. And I'm really sorry that it did that. You know, there's a blessing for coming with contriteness and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, there's a clearing then that begins to happen. We don't have to. God doesn't want us to carry that embarrassment to the point that it's a weight on our shoulders and would cause us to get discouraged. He wants us to remember it enough to learn from it, but not to be something that the devil would use to discourage you throughout your life. There's some things I have to purposely forget. I mean, purposefully not allow it to have to dominate my thoughts. Now, again, there's a balance. I think God wants us to remember some of it as simply a goad to encourage us not to do that again. But He doesn't want us to be imprisoned by those things. So there's a blessedness in mourning that condition and saying, Lord, I want to be different than that. It helps us with life. You know what else it does? It also gives me, when I recognize that and I mourn that condition, that I need help, it helps me also to have compassion on you when I see you do those things. And you know, we need that. You know, we have high expectations of each other. We are the church of God. We believe in holiness and purity and righteousness. But sometimes we look to our bench to be beside us and we can see so many faults in the person beside me. And perhaps every one of them are actually a real fault. But I want to encourage us to leave that fault in the hand of God. I want to encourage us to look at ourselves and say, Lord, help me. I'm the one in need. And help me, Lord, to be the example my brother beside me needs. Because I want him to go to heaven too. You see, the Lord's developing us. He's changing us. We're not grown up yet. We haven't gotten to the point. Now, there's maturity levels that we get to. But we're not to the point that God doesn't. We're not above His correction. Nor are we such a state of maturity that we don't need His guiding hand. We surely do. There's a blessedness. There's a blessing that comes along with seeing myself in the proper position before God. Lord, I need You. And Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've done in the past. Help me, Lord, to know how to contrite. I want to mourn for those things, but I want You to help me to get past that. And handle myself in such a way that other people can see the growth and have confidence in me. I want them to see You in my life. Blessed are those that mourn. They shall inherit the earth. Now this inheritance of the earth, I'm not interested in having the thousands of acres or something like that. I'm interested in the Lord having control on this earthen vessel. I don't want it to be out of control. I want it to be inherited by righteousness. Blessed are the meek. Now, this quality of meekness is not just a quality of humility, though that's part of it. But a quality of meekness also contains the idea of someone who is willing to be in the proper place of the mixture of meekness with steadfastness. Moses was one of those. Very difficult. He had a hard time. There's a lot of things. But he was willing to stand for what's right in the face of a lot of opposition. And he could have stood up. Remember, there was one time that the Lord said, Moses, you step aside and I'll take care of all these folks. And then I'll take you and make... Moses said, no, not so, Lord. Not so. God help us to have that quality of steadfastness, trueness, also humbleness, where the flesh doesn't all stick out. You know, it's very distasteful when carnality or we're lifting up ourselves You know, when a child always wants to have their way, or always wants to, I want the biggest piece of cake, I want to be first in line, I want all these things, and there's this little self-promotional, you know, it's distasteful. Those of us that are mature, we look at that and we say, no. And parents are supposed to try to correct some of those things, don't you? Because if that continues to develop in that child, it's distasteful really bad when they get older and adults and we haven't learned how to control ourselves. So the Lord is teaching these qualities to a group of people just like us today. Be meek. These qualities of godliness. Blessed. Now this is one. This is a theme that I've used over and over, and I'll continue to do so because I think it's so important. Sixth verse, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, we are naturally given to hunger and appetite. We're supposed to. God made us that way. It's okay. But we have a say in this. We should direct it. There's some appetites we shouldn't indulge. There's some things that God wants us to control. It's unhealthy for us to do some things. Spiritually, be careful what you indulge. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after godliness, after righteousness, after the characteristics of Christ. There's a blessing that goes along with that. Outside of that, we are outside of the blessing. We have seen all, look around all over. And any time that us individuals or anywhere in people's lives when we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we still, our hunger is and our thirst is indulged by selfish carnal desires, the lust of the flesh, and don't let your mind go to, it can be very simple, just promoting myself. The lust of the flesh. Anytime that is dominating our life, there's not a blessing that goes along with that. In fact, it's distasteful, and sometimes it leads us in areas of great harm. Sometimes it leads people to prison just indulging those things. And God would like to teach us, don't travel that path. And Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst. So let's replace that type of hunger with a godly hunger. Let's overcome those passions by doing good. Let's say, Lord, I want to serve You today. When I wake up in the morning, say, Lord, help my attitudes to be right. I want to be godly today. Teach me how to act today. I don't want to be one of those that goes out there and mopes around and says, oh, my life is so hard. No, Lord, help me to have a proper attitude. Now, I know there's times that we're going to feel some down, but God help us to know how to deal with that. That doesn't become our identity. The overall identity of our life should be one, I'm so glad today to be saved. I'm glad to be serving the Lord. And one that as we go through the duties of life, we can do it with a proper happiness, not an exaggerated happiness either. Both of those seem fake. God help us to do it right. That when people look at us and how we handle ourselves, they can say, that's a good, balanced, and a proper life. And when they say that they're a Christian, I believe it. I've seen what's happening in their life. And Jesus teaches us this way. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, dear ones, this will affect every area of our life. When I hunger and thirst, this to me is so important. When I hunger and thirst after righteousness, it gives the Lord a place to deal with me in my daily walk. When I spend some time seeking the Lord, when I begin to practice having prayer, finding some time alone, even as I'm maybe driving down the road, I've done it many times, driving down the road and the Lord's captivated my mind and I felt tears running down my face, so the Lord was talking with my heart. Tears, maybe that says to your mind, He's sad. No, it wasn't meant. The Lord was just encouraging, inspiring me. Sometimes people laugh. I'm not one of those. I don't laugh a whole lot. I do some, but
when the Lord deals with me, it just melts my heart. And that's how many times I express my joy in the Lord. So, but the Lord wants to give us, He wants to have that personal communication with us. And He teaches us so much during those times when I'm actually hungering and thirsting after Him. He can adjust little things with His child. You know, I never really liked spanking my children. I would do it when I needed to. But the thing I like most is when we were able to talk and able to get down to a level beyond just Daddy's angry, he's not happy with what's going on, and so he's going to give me a spanking. I liked to get down inside the mind to see what was going on. You know, the Lord wants to get right down in our heart and talk with us. He doesn't like to have to wield the rod of correction. He wants to teach. He wants to draw. He wants to inspire us. Now, He'll love us enough to give us a spanking. He's sure done that many times. And I'm sorry that I forced Him to do so. But He loves us enough to do it. I know one time the Lord really had to bring me up short. And looking back especially, I know it was His love. At the time, it didn't hardly feel that way. But looking back afterwards, when the Lord really opened up my eyes to what I needed correction over, and He did it so thoroughly. And I said, "Lord, wasn't there an easier way?" And He said, "Yes, I tried many times. But You forced me to come to this." And He was right. I look back, there was many times the Lord tried to quietly deal with us. So, again, that goes to this verse. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, it gives the Lord that opportunity to really deal with us on a much gentler level than having to wield the rod. All right. Blessed are the merciful. Lord, help us to be so. A lot of times we can start feeling a sense of we've got it all together, and I know what's right. I know the standards of the church. I know how to act. I know what to say. I know, and that person over there is not quite measuring up, and I'm feeling like that. I need to. I'm not feeling very charitable toward them, and I wish, you know, they're really making me feel uncomfortable, and they may well be doing all that. But have you ever needed mercy? I think surely we all have. Maybe somebody here is better than all the rest of us, but I can say I've needed mercy. And I think most of you can look back. And so, did you know God wants us to extend mercy? And there's a blessing to that. That gives people the best chance of healing or going beyond their terrible times when they stumped their toe and made a mess. Oh my. You know, if the Lord ever calls any of you to be a minister, you're going to need mercy. And I thank You for the mercy that You've extended to people like me that stood up here and made such a mess sometimes. And I go home and feel completely embarrassed. But I thank God that He's also willing to deal with us on... Mercy. And I've looked back many times and thought, "Oh, thank You, Lord, that I live amongst people with such a loving, caring heart. And they didn't come and try to destroy." So let's extend that mercy to each other. Practice mercy. There's a blessing that goes along with that. Pure in heart. Oh, my. You know, I've heard people say the Lord, man looks on the outward appearance. No, He does. He can't see the heart very well. He said, but God looks on the heart. And He does. The fact is, He knows well the heart. So if I say with my mouth that the Lord looks on, He knows my heart. But if in saying that I'm really covering for something, I'm saying, I don't want you. You don't need to. The Lord knows my heart. Well, be careful, because He does. Don't use it as an excuse.
Blessed are those that are truly pure in heart. They really do want to serve the Lord. I have seen people, I've met them as I've traveled throughout in the work of the Lord. I've met some people that they weren't anywhere close to where you and I would recognize as being comfortable around. We feel like, you know, we have certain standards, and that's good. And I've met people that just didn't, they weren't at that standard. But as I began to talk with them, and I started seeing the tenderness of their heart and their love for the things of the Lord, I knew they wanted to serve the Lord. And I rejoiced in that. And God help us to rejoice with them. They need encouragement. And you know what? Sometimes, if they had the opportunity to be around other like saints who would hunger and thirst after righteousness, they would just blend right in there, and you'd feel that love they have, and the Lord nurtures that, and the Lord then begins, He's able to teach and lead, and give Him that time. Be merciful to one another. Be pure of heart. God sees the purity of the heart. He also sees it when it's not so. Peacemakers. Ninth verse. Oh, we have decisions, don't we? There's a scripture that says something about going by a situation and taking a dog by the ear. I can't remember all that verse right now, but the idea of that verse is you kind of come by and you see something going on and you try to meddle with it. It's just like somebody coming by and grabbing a dog by the ear. You're going to get bit. It's not going to work very well. Sometimes the best thing you can do is go to the Lord in prayer. And sometimes it's to reach over and say, "Brother, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Be encouraged. I want you to serve the Lord. I want you to know I'm backing you. How you doing? I want you to be encouraged. When you go home tonight, I want you to know, and you're all alone, I want you to remember that Brother Ivan cares. He's interested. I want you to know that I want to go to heaven with you." Sometimes those are the best things. Peacemakers, you see. We can aggravate a situation. But there's a blessing on those that are peacemakers. And you know what? The devil really likes to feed rancor. You know what I'm talking about? He likes to stir up strife. He likes to stir up things. He'll feed that, and he would like to cause you and I to feed that. Oh, help us. In time, at least, God help us to learn not to fall into his traps like that. Sometimes young and zealous, I look back at myself and I think I've taken the dog by the ear more than once, and I shouldn't have. But Lord, teach us. Help us to be teachable people. Peacemakers. Strive to be a peacemaker. I just want to encourage us. Let's do all we can. And along with this, I'm not asking you to accept evil or wrong. That's not, God never asked us to do that. But help create the best environment where God can still work with the situation. Have you ever have some dogs at home? Have a young one. And he thinks he's 10 foot tall. He's a dog, and I want to be king around here one of these days. That's what it's in his mind. I can see. He'll come there stiff-legged, tail up in the air, and kind of hair bristle on his back. "I want you to know, I'm here." And comes up, sidles up to the other dog. You know what? Another dog, he didn't even care he was there. All of a sudden, he does like that, bristles up. The other dog looks at him, growls. You know why? He calls that reaction. Lord, help us not to be bristly people. You know, there's things we can do to create peaceful situations. Teach us, Lord, to cultivate that. There's a blessing that goes along with just peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. I know y'all read these, but when I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, I think, Lord, just dealing with us humans. You know, we got meeting coming up down here, and there you're going to be rubbing shoulders with all more than just congregation and visitors like me that come in, you you may be able to get along with this for about 4 or 5 days. But then we're going to go home and you're going to be rid of us, and you can sigh of relief. But you're going to be still with yourself and your neighbors and your children and the rest of the congregation. And there's going to be plenty of opportunity to exercise these characteristics of godliness, of peacemaking, of righteousness in your life. And God wants it to be right there where the rubber meets the road. He didn't say that to this crowd. Said, okay, y'all disperse and never touch each other. No, their lives were intermingled, as our lives are. And God wants us to learn how to deal with life in a very godly, proper, settled, real good manner. Our emotions can be held in check in the proper... Emotions are good. They're supposed to be there. God made us with them. But the devil would like to get them all out of kilter and us to be ruled by our emotions. There's a balance, folks. There's a balance that God has for every one of us. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Oh my. Y'all like that verse? For righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they, are you, when men shall revile you. I have a hard time when I don't like being reviled. I don't like being persecuted. But that's not what He's really asking us to like, both of those. He's wanting us to recognize there's a reason why sometimes we are reviled. There's a reason why sometimes we are persecuted. Now, I don't know of any of us here that can really say that I've been persecuted. When you look at what's happened in the past, we don't hardly qualify for the little things we've dealt with. That's not really persecution. But Jesus says there's a blessing, and the reason why is not that we're to like being reviled or like being persecuted, but to recognize we're being persecuted or reviled because we're not of the world. I'm not like that. There's a reason why Satan doesn't like me. And I think there's a blessing. I know there's a blessing to know that I'm not in the same vein as the world is. I just don't completely get along with all their mindset. Now, God would have us to try to get along with them. I understand that. But there's a place that we can't go with them. There's vile things that we're... And so then they, in turn, have little nicknames sometimes on the job. I don't know about you all, but sometimes on the job, especially if you're young, starting out, that, and you're not willing to go to some of the things they indulge themselves in, and they'll have the little nicknames for you. I heard a young man say not too long ago, they call him something like Goody Two Shoes, but not quite that. But it was something similar to that. That was his little name. And I could tell when he told me that, it kind of went to his heart. He didn't like that. But understand the reason why they have that name for you, because your heart's different than theirs. And so it puts a little different feel to that. I understand how they don't... Because when I act like I do, it gives... There's a little... The saints will judge the world, you see. It's not that they stand up and say, you're wrong. That's not why they do it. They just stand for what's right. And their actions bring sometimes a reaction, and the world looks at you when you're living right, and they feel condemned. And so they lash out. And there's a blessing when they recognize you as a righteous man. We should thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord, to still stand for what's right. I love you. I want to serve you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I'm not here just for me. I am looking beyond this world, and I see a heaven to gain. And I want to serve you, Lord. Our time has gotten all the way, but I want to talk just a little bit about the 13th verse and the 14th verse, where he introduces the idea. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light. Now we understand, we know that Jesus Himself, God is the true light, but God wants that light to be also in us. There is something that He has planted in us. He lit the candle, you see. He is the true light. He said, no man lights a candle and puts it under, tries to hide it. He puts it out for everybody to see. And Jesus reminds us who are trying to follow and serve the Lord. He said, people are seeing. People are tasting. You are the salt. You ever heard the term, they're just good salt of the earth people? You heard that term? What does that generally say to your mind? Does that say these are people that are a little rancorous, difficult to deal with? Is that what that means? I mean, these are people that you're going to probably see in jail. That's not what good salt of the earth people, that's not what that term's talking about. But when you're talking about the salt of the earth, you're talking about something that is tasty. That's good. These are good salt of the earth people. You're describing a people who have character, moral boundaries. Just good neighbors. These are good, common, normal people. Now, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're representing something. I want to encourage us as we go through life. Lord, help me to be a proper representation. And again, there's a quality about salt that makes it food tastier. Also, after a while, will cause people to want some more. Might even want to have a good drink of water later on. I want them, when they come in our doors and go out the other side, and if they've met us in town and had a little taste of who we are, I want them to be able to go away and something needles in their mind and says, you know what, I really like, I hope I meet them again at Walmart. Yes. Oh, they didn't get on to me for walking on the wrong side of the aisle. They didn't, whatever pet peeve we might have. They were kind. They engaged me with a smile and said, how's your day? You know, there's a soul. There's something God wants us to affect our neighbors and our friends and our family and our congregation, our fellows on the job, wherever our life touches, whoever we touch. He wants that to be a touch of light. Godly light. And salty flavor. A savor of good things. That's what God wants. And Jesus is teaching people here. Now there's a whole lot more to His message and we're not going to cover near all of it. But I want to encourage us this morning to allow God to work in our life in such a fashion that when He is molding and shaping us and He sees what we are becoming, He's happy. My attitudes are right. My emotions are being leveled out. I'm not saying you've got to have always just level, because we're going to have some ups and downs in our emotions. But the Lord wants to help with life. And the people looking on see something more than just a carnal individual that's just uncontrolled. But they're going to see somebody here that's stable and settled. And they're liable to come over sometime and say, how you doing? I've been noticing you. You're such a blessing in my life, and you hardly knew that you were, but you were because of what God had been doing in you. And they come over and they say, you know, I've been watching you, and you know, I've been going to church down here, and I don't know, I'm just feeling. And the door opens up that we can have some real conversations with them. You know what they're wanting? They want a little light. I want a little love of God. They're wanting, there's some hunger down in there. And God says, feed them. And these opportunities just open up then. And people notice and they care and they're hungry. And you are the salt. And you're the light. That God wants them to see. And wants them to taste. God help us to allow the Lord to have His full reign in our life, that He might develop and change us and mold and shape us and mature us into solid Christ-like people. Pray for me. I want to serve me.